temple, tables, and holiness.
Grab your Bible and let's talk.
Welcome to the Bible Glitter and Glue podcast, where Bible study and thought-provoking conversation lead to creative teaching. Now, here are your hosts, David and Mary Nelson.
David, it's so good to open our Bibles today and see a facet of Jesus that we sometimes don't talk about. Some real emotion and passion comes out in today's lesson. And I think a lot of it comes down to what you think it means to be holy. You know, we have Bibles and on the front of them they say, Holy Bible. And I know children often will say, what does that mean? That idea of special, different, set apart, set above. Holiness is a special thing. And I think that comes out in this story.
Our story today is found in the Gospel of Mark, chapter 11, verses 15 through 19. And why don't we read this story today?
Sure.
Jesus returned to Jerusalem and went into the temple. He began to throw out those who were buying and selling things there. He overturned the tables that belonged to the men who were exchanging different kinds of money, and he turned over the benches of the men who were selling doves. Jesus refused to allow anyone to carry goods through the temple courts.
Then Jesus taught the people. He said, "It is written in the scriptures, my temple will be a house where people from all nations will pray. But you are changing God's house into a hideout for robbers."
The leading priests and the teachers of the law heard all this. They began trying to find a way to kill Jesus. They were afraid of him because of all the people were amazed at his teaching. That night, Jesus and his followers left the city.
We find Jesus at the temple, and the temple represented so much to the Jews, didn't it? It was a holy place.
It was a very holy place. The temple, of course, figures largely in this story here, and we're going to be talking about the temple quite a bit in this podcast. The temple was the most sacred space where the most sacred activities happened, the activities of sacrifice and worship of God. And that's why the land is called the Holy Land, because it was the place where God was. And the center of all of the land was in Jerusalem, and the center of Jerusalem was the temple where God dwelled.
So every part of that building meant something, didn't it? I mean, from the furniture to the curtains to the courtyards, every part of it had meaning that went right back to the Old Testament. Everyone knew this was a particular place, a holy place. It was set apart. It wasn't like other places, other buildings.
It needed to be treated very differently and with great respect. It was the center of their religious life, of the Jewish religious life, but it was also their political and social center as well. It in a sense, it embodied who they were as God's people. It represented their core identity. The temple was the symbol par excellence of God's people. It was the place where God dwelt, and a place that God's people come to be with him, to worship him.
And it would be wrong, really, to equate that to a church building. Any kind of cathedral or anything like that that we have today, they're not a temple. They're not the temple. This is a different thing altogether.
It is. If we can just go one step further, God dwelled in the temple. So the temple was conceived as the place where heaven and earth met, where heaven and earth intersected. You just think about that for a moment. This is where God can be with and among his people. That's what made this place so sacred. This was the hot spot of God's space. To appreciate the significance and the centrality of the temple in Jerusalem and the significance of what Jesus does, it would help if we get an idea of this whole massive temple complex, get a geography of the temple. Jesus enters the temple and there's these tables and money changers and all of this. And it helps, I think, if we get a visual picture of the geography of the temple and everything surrounding the temple. There are some good websites that help us to visualize what the temple looked like in Jesus' day. And so these websites will be posted in the show notes.
This goes back a long ways. In the early days of God's people, first there was a tabernacle. A lot of these same furnishings and things like that were represented in a tent. God dwelled in that tent, is what he said. Later, Solomon built a temple, and that was a more permanent place. Permanent, we say, but really when God's people were taken into captivity, that temple was destroyed. And the temple Jesus was entering at the beginning of this story was the same temple that was rebuilt after the people returned to the land. It wasn't quite the glorious place of the original temple, but it was still the place that people went to offer sacrifices, to do religious activity, and people knew this was the center spot of the Jewish nation.
As I mentioned earlier, the closer one got to the temple, the more sacred the space. And this temple was part of a large complex of buildings and structures. And on the south wall of the temple complex were many columns, and that's where the area where the Sanhedrin, or the Sanhedrin, the Jewish ruling council, met for their deliberations. And on the north side of the temple complex was the Antonio Fortress, and that housed the barracks of the Roman soldiers, who were always ready to respond to make sure there was no trouble that could ignite. And there was a huge courtyard around the temple itself. And this was the space where the tables of the money changers were and the pens for the sacrificial animals were kept. And this area was where anyone could be, including non-Jews. Jews were God's chosen people. Everybody else were Gentiles.
But the temple was a symbol even for the non-Jew, wasn't it? It was so blatant, and everyone knew this represented God, and he wanted that to be open to everyone.
That's right, and this whole area here was called the Court of the Gentiles. But around the temple itself was a balustrade or a small wall, which these Gentiles were not allowed to cross. They could only get so close to God. And along this wall, at certain points, were inscriptions that read, "No Gentile may enter within the balustrade around the sanctuary and the enclosure. Whoever is caught on himself, shall he be put to blame for the death which will ensue." And it's interesting, there have been some stones that have been discovered that has this inscription written on them.
So that's not from the Bible. That's just from signs that have been posted around the temple, right?
Right, yes. Inside the balustrade was the court of women, and then inside that was the court of men. And then inside the temple, only priests were allowed to go, and only after they were ceremonially clean. And they could go inside and minister in the holy place. That was called the holy place. And then inside that, there was the most holy place, and there was a curtain from the ceiling to the floor that separated the holy place from the most holy place. And only the high priest could enter into that place, and only one day out of the year, and only after he had gone through elaborate ceremony to qualify him to enter into the very, as it were, the very presence of God, the most sacred space on earth.
So that is really set apart. I mean, what you're saying is there are all these important boundaries. This is not a situation to be taken lightly. This is truly a holy, set-apart place. And I'm thinking when Jesus arrived at the temple at the beginning of today's story, I don't think he saw holiness. I think he saw something totally different from that. This was turned into some sort of almost a marketplace, wasn't it?
Seemed to have become that. His focus was on these money changers and the sacrificial animals. As you mentioned at the beginning of our podcast, we see a side of Jesus. We see an emotion of Jesus that we really haven't seen before. He seems to be very angry or upset, so much so that he does this.
I think that's something that maybe makes us a little uncomfortable. But this whole idea of this being the beacon for the nations, that this being a place where people are to encounter God, and it's special and it's good, when people are kept away from God because there's all this money changing going on, because people are tested in ways that God doesn't test them, Jesus got angry, I think, because the people, the nations, the very people that God wanted to draw to him were being kept away. And Jesus had addressed this very subject a number of times in his ministry, the idea of not stopping people from coming to God, the injustice of women and children and the poor and the people with diseases that were not able to come to God because people were shunning them and keeping them away, keeping them at a lower status. Jesus was very firm on this. And in fact, I'm thinking of a time, David, in Matthew chapter 18, verses 5 and 6. Remember when he brought a child in front of everyone and said, it's better to have a millstone put around your neck and thrown into the water and drown than it is to keep one of these little ones away from God, to make them stumble, to put barriers. So we have all this temple that is to be a beacon to the nations, that's to show God's holiness and draw people to him. And yet what Jesus finds that day are all sorts of barriers, all sorts of ways to stumble. And this made him angry. I feel like it's almost as if this was some sort of home invasion of the temple. It's God's house. It's my Father's house. What are you doing?
Part of the problem that Jesus has with what's going on here at the temple is behind the scenes. We learn from history also that the high priest actually was in charge of the temple, and that he made a cut on these money changers, because when people came into the temple to offer sacrifices, they could not use the currency from the places they came from. They only had to use the temple shekel. So they had to exchange their money, and the high priest made a cut on this. He charged people more than what he ought to. And the same way with the animals, when people came from outside, they brought their animals to be sacrificed, but they had to be inspected by the temple authorities. And more often than not, they found blemishes with the animals, and so they were not fit for sacrifice. And so they had to buy animals from the temple itself, which the high priest was in charge of. So Jesus was angry at this going on as well. People were being treated unjustly. They were not allowed to worship God like they needed to and wanted to.
And this had been spoken of in the Old Testament by the prophets. Jeremiah talked about people being kept away in the temple and it being misused. I think that helps me understand Jesus's anger. This is not just he didn't like it. This is anger. He was physically demonstrating what should be going on. He was kicking people out. We think of Jesus more as kind and gentle, but here he displays another side of himself. He's like a bouncer. He's kicking people out of the area that should not be in there.
This gives us a better image of really who Jesus is.
We read at the last of this passage about the religious leaders being afraid and being upset because the people were listening to Jesus. But you have to think, those religious leaders, they're teachers of the law. They knew that the temple was a holy place. They knew these things should not be going on, and yet they had allowed them to happen.
You mentioned earlier that this is like a home invasion, and you referred to the prophecy of Jeremiah, because in verse 17, Jesus speaks here, "My temple will be a house where people from all nations will pray, but you are changing God's house into a hideout for robbers." And that is a quote from Jeremiah chapter 7. And there's a parallel between Jeremiah, what he was doing and saying, and Jesus here. And Jeremiah is preaching to the people. He is referring to them, treating the temple as a den where they think they're safe. And so during the week, they were guilty of all kinds of sin, and not treating their neighbor with love, but with disrespect, treating God with great disrespect. And then they thought they could just come and worship in the temple and everything would be okay. He says, it's like a den of robbers. Jeremiah pronounces judgment on the temple. And I believe in this story, there's many layers. His action in the temple is also symbolic of the temple's judgment, that this can't continue. And we do know that in Jesus' ministry and in texts from the Old Testament, that Jesus is actually come to fulfill the purpose of the temple, that the temple had it fulfilled its purpose. And Jesus is going to be the new temple or the real temple. Jesus will be the place where heaven and earth come together. Jesus is the focal point where God dwells among his people. In fact, in John's gospel, he says that in John 1:14, that the word became flesh and dwelt. And that word dwelt is the word for tabernacle, and dwelt among his people. Jesus is the one where heaven and earth come together, where God dwells. So Jesus is the one to whom we go to be with God.
So for me, David, this enriches my view of Jesus. It reminds me that Jesus is full of power and strength, and he is not willing just to let things slide. He's full of grace to allow us to grow, but he's not afraid to say, enough is enough. This must stop. And especially when it comes to his Father, and he knows that God is holy and that we need to respect God. I'm thinking of John's version of the story in the Gospel of John. He talks about Jesus being zealous. I think the children's version, which we're reading, John chapter 2, verse 17, it says, when this happened, the followers remembered what was written in the scriptures. My strong love for your temple completely controls me. This was very important to Jesus. It shouldn't surprise us, really. I mean, I'm thinking of the Ten Commandments. You know, when you look at the Ten Commandments, the first half of them are about holiness. They're about God and our reverence and our worship of him. They're about us keeping him holy, his name holy, a day holy. All of these things lead to this thought of reverence and respect for God.
Yes, to treat God with great honor, to honor him.
So how would you, in looking at this story, how would you help adults learn about this and to apply this to their lives?
There's a couple of things I want to share. One is, yeah, check out the website for the virtual tour of the temple in Jerusalem in Jesus' day.
That's in the show notes,
In the
right?
show notes. And also a YouTube website in the show notes entitled Herod's Temple. When you're in a class teaching, I think to appreciate the story in a deeper way or a fuller way, it'd be good to see visually just really what Herod's temple looked like. And so just check those out. That will add a dimension to the class if you do that. And you can create a PowerPoint presentation that includes both of these websites. That will add a dimension to the class. And the second thing I would share in a class is that, you know, we mentioned Jesus is the temple. We've mentioned that we need to honor God with our lives, treat him with great respect because of who he is. That even though there is no longer any temple which represents, you know, sacred space, Jesus is that temple. But also, the Bible talks about that his people are a temple, that God dwells with us. So we actually represent sacred space. So we're a place where God dwells. How does my life, how does your life reflect the fact that God dwells within us? So knowing that you are a temple in which God dwells, how should that affect the choices you make in your life? Does your choice bring honor to God or shame? And to be reminded of who we are as God's people, it would be good to sing the song entitled Sanctuary. Those are a couple of ideas for an adult class. But I want to know about children. Yeah, what can this text say to children? What can they get from this, Mary?
holiness is something that we don't talk about in everyday life. It's not something that's common. So I think that's something that I want to talk about with the children and make sure they understand what that means. Jumping off from that idea of Holy Bible, I think I just want to say, why does it say Holy Bible? It's because these are words of God and they're special. We need to listen to them. Maybe a good time to review the Ten Commandments, talking about things like we should keep God's name holy. It's sadly something we do hear a lot in our world today, people using the name of God, you know, as swearing or OMG, you see on social media. It's a very common thing to use God's name in a very loose way. And I think there was a reason that there was a commandment about that. It's something that we can continue to talk about today, is that God's name is holy. Anything we talk about God, it's different. We don't just toss that around. Those are important things to talk about. I want children to think about that. Proverbs chapter 9, verse 10 would be a good memory verse, I think. Wisdom begins with respect for the Lord, and understanding begins with knowing God, the Holy One. That's Proverbs chapter 9, verse 10. I'd like the kids to memorize that, so I'd suggest working on that. What I don't want to do in Bible class is to wrongly compare the church building to that holy place that was the temple. I want to steer away from that idea because I think that's kind of something that people easily go to and say what we should and shouldn't do. When in the case of the new covenant that we're under now, you know, God dwells within each of us. And so thinking about the holiness of our actions and our lives and being that temple for God, I think is the right place to go instead of being four walls or some beautiful place with stained glass windows and a cross, just to make sure we understand that God lives in us. And so we want to live holy lives. There are so many things. I would suggest going to missionbibleclass.org because I've got some other ideas for teaching children. But what a special thing to be able to talk to children about God's holiness. Even just saying that, that's huge. David, it's been good to talk about the holiness of God. That is just an awesome thing to talk about. It's not something I want to take lightly. I know you and I have had some good discussions even before this podcast on what that means and what that means in our lives and how that affects our lives. But I hope you, like us, are touched in a special way when you read this. I hope you are drawn to the Jesus that stands up for what's right. He's not afraid to show his emotions. He doesn't lose his temper, but he appropriately responds to the indignation of someone causing people to stay away from God. I hope that you're moved in the same way that we are and that you can share that with the children and adults in your life.
And may God bless you as you speak into the lives of adults and children.
Thank you for listening to the Bible Glitter and Glue podcast. Subscribe now to listen to new weekly episodes and visit missionbibleclass.org for more free resources to help you share God's word with children.